Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
There he is. Adam Schefter, our NFL insider. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Well, we're doing great. I think Bradley Chubb, I've never heard, anytime I came out of the operating room, I never heard somebody say, hey, we had a unsuccessful surgery. You know, the doctors were always great, 100% on their game. And, Bradley Chubb, the same thing.
You had 31 successful surgeries? Think 27? What was the number?
29 when I was playing. So, yeah, 29 successful surgery. So, anyhow, they were very successful. Just ask the doctors. So Bradley Chubb comes out of this thing with a very successful surgery. What are you hearing about the timetable? When will we see him? What do you know? What have you garnered?
It sounds like they do expect him back this season. I think it's a tough thing, though, right? Like, he came back this time. He wanted to be out there. They felt like he was okay to be back out there. Goes out, and right away aggravates him. You could see how frustrated he was, throwing down his helmet and all angry and rightfully so. And I don't know that if he waited another week or two that it would have made a difference. I don't know. It's a hard thing to say. But he has the surgery. It is, as you noted, stinks, successful. And so they put him on IR. Look, we know that at a minimum he's going to miss about a month. At a minimum. I'd have to see. When is their bye? Like, that, you know, that might provide a hint or two here. If we take a look at their schedule here.
After week nine.
Week 10. Off the top of my head, that might be the time. They might be shooting to get him back, you know, assuming that their season's on track, which it is right now. November 28th, Chargers, if they were to bring him back then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he's back for the last 7 games. I mean, that you take that right now, wouldn't you? I would.
Adam, Matt Nagy can't be serious when he says that Andy Dalton gets his job back after he gets healthy. Does he really mean it?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, here's the deal. They came into the season wanting to rest Justin Fields as long as they could. And so this injury, while it's unfortunate, I think, look, it gives him a chance to play Justin Fields, and it gives him an excuse if he's not playing great and winning to be able to go back to Andy Dalton. Look, but here's the deal. Here is the fact of the matter. If Justin Fields is playing well and they're winning, he's not getting back the job.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So they could say that now all they want. It just creates cover for them, and it gives them an easy out, and it sets it up so that there's zero pressure on Justin Fields or what they do. So if Justin Fields plays well, great. He'll keep playing. And if he doesn't, they say, well, we said Andy's our starter, and we said we were going to go back to him. We are. Right? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers? You know Aaron Rodgers. And just the overall attention and the, I guess, discourse between he and the media, as though the media, you know, had him disgruntled with the front office and the media created that. Is that much ado about nothing, or is
I don't think he's talking about the media. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's complaining about that. He's complaining about people talking about his mindset and not being committed. I don't think he's wrong with what that. You know, again, I'm biased, but I don't think anybody got it wrong that the way he is aligned with the front office or not aligned, like that's all accurate. I mean, that's all accurate, and they're working on that. But he took exception this week. If you're talking about comments this week to people questioning his mindset, his commitment, his state of mind, how he's approaching the season, that type of thing. And I've been trying to figure out who he's talking to. I think he's I think he's specifically referring to JaMychal Finley, the former Packers tight end, who came out with some controversial comments about Aaron Rodgers. I think that's who he's talking about. But I honestly don't know exactly who he means.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I think that's a good point. Hey, listen, man, we're going to roll, but we always appreciate you, Adam. Thanks so much for popping on, man.
Hey, Steve, what game you got this weekend?
I've got New England. This is going to be my first time talking to Bill Belichick since probably I played for him in a Pro Bowl in 1998 or 99. So I've got New England and New Orleans.
He's the smartest guy I've ever talked to in football. Knows more about more things than anybody I've ever met.
Yeah. Well
he hasn't met Mark Schlereth yet.
Well,
No. Mark knows a lot. He knows a lot, but Bill's very educated in a lot of different areas.
I'm really looking forward to sitting down with Bill. I don't think I'll get a lot of information, but I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, he gets a bad rap for that. I think he's better with that than people realize. You know, like, just think he's very thoughtful, very smart, and it'll be like a little bit of, you know, I think you'll enjoy talking with him.
Yeah, no, I think you get a lot of football knowledge, but you're not going to get specific game knowledge from Bill. That's what I've heard.
You're smart enough to make it without it stink.
Right, yeah. Well, thank you, Adam. Appreciate you, buddy. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, guys. Take care.
Adam Schefter, our NFL insider from ESPN, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. So we're all wondering, right, this 2-0 start, is it legit? Well, Jay Feely called Broncos Jaguars, and he'll be calling Broncos Jets for CBS, and he'll join us to give us his thoughts next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Man, Mark, we can't get enough of these Michigan men. We just had Adam Schefter on.
Yes.
Now Jay Feely.
Well, you can't go wrong with a Michigan man.
Cannot go wrong with a Michigan man. Yes.
That sounds like a song by the Eurythmics, by the way.
Jay Feely, former NFL place kicker. And now with CBS, working with Spiro Dedis, he called the Broncos-Jacksonville game last week and will be on the call of Broncos-Jets this week. Joins us now. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, boys. How are you, Stink? What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, doing great. And just really appreciate you jumping on. Mike said something earlier that you talked in the broadcast about. And, you know, we always look at kind of the origins of offenses or the origins of defenses and who steals from who. And you talked about Vic Fangio and how some of the principles that he uses are being kind of handpicked throughout the league.
Yeah.
So take us into that information, how you come about that information and what you learned in the meetings with the Broncos.
Well, Stig, I did Brandon Staley and the Chargers week one. You know, and Brandon was obviously with Vic in Chicago, and he takes it to the Rams, and they're the best defense in the league last year, and now he takes over the Chargers. And then you see this starting to trickle around, and kind of what I said was just, you know, there was this offensive revolution around Shanahan and his coaching tree and the guys that spread out, and now there's almost this defensive evolution. You know, because Shanahan was in response to Pete Carroll and his kind of defensive dominance with what he was doing with his cover three system. And then now you got Brandon Staley and Joe Barry and Sean Desai and obviously Vic and what they're doing, which is in response to basically these offenses and what they were able to do successfully. And I just love his defense. I mean, I think it's sound. It's easy to replicate when you have really good safeties like the Broncos do with Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. That allows you to be so diverse and allows you to change everything up, especially for young quarterbacks. When you change that picture after the snap for those young quarterbacks, and you saw it with Trevor Lawrence, it's hard. And they end up being late. And one of Trevor Lawrence's interceptions, he had the right receiver. He was just late on the throw because the picture changes and he's going through his progressions a little slow and he sees it and he throws it and he throws an interception. I think that's what they do so well.
You know, we've talked here at nauseam about how good this defense has the potential of being and how good this secondary has the potential of being. Now, they're down one corner in Ronald Darby. They'll get him back eventually with a hamstring. He went on IR. But when you studied them and when you watched them, how good do you think this defensive secondary, this defense and this defensive secondary can be?
Yeah, I think, you know, losing Bradley Chubb hurt, obviously, because when you have him and Von Miller coming off the edges, you know, that just makes the secondary even better. You know, they work in conjunction together, but they're deep. I mean, bringing in Kyle Fuller from Chicago, who knows this defense and understands how to play it, and then a Pat Surtain, who played really well last week, and I liked it. That was his first opportunity to go in there and start, and the interception he made was excellent. You know, I mean, it's teaching tape. You know, he's running down the sideline, he gets his head around, he finds the ball, he makes a beautiful catch for an interception. And, you know, they have so much depth with these guys. And then they got guys like, you know, Callahan, OJ Media, who's injured, and Darby, who's injured. I mean, there's the potential, I think, to be a top five defense for sure, if not one of the best defenses in the league. You know, especially if you can get Chubb back and get him out there. And they have depth up front. And I think they just do what they do really well is they make offenses frustrated, offensive coordinators and quarterbacks, because you have to be content to take the check down. You have to be content, you know, to run the ball for 3-4 yards and kind of slowly matriculate down the field. You know, and defense or offenses get frustrated with that.
Biz with Jay Feely, CBS's Jay Feely. He'll be working the Broncos-Jets game again this week. And, Jay, as you know, we've been a little bit quarterback-starved here in Denver. And so we're looking for signs, any signs that we can latch on to that would suggest that Teddy Bridgewater could end up being the guy. Do you see any yet?
I see a lot of signs. You know, I think what he does better than anything, though, is bring leadership to that locker room. You know, and I think that's been missing from that position. You know, because he galvanized. You listen to guys talk about him. You listen to Von Miller talk about him and Courtland Sutton and what they say. And the first thing they talk about is not his quarterback play. It's just what he brings in that locker room, the experience that he brings. You know, I think a guy, Sneak, you can talk about this more than anybody, but when you get injured and the game is taken away from you, even for a little while, and you're not sure if you're going to be able to get back out there and play again, you begin to appreciate it more. And I think that's where Teddy Bridgewater is right now in his career. You know, he wasn't sure if he'd ever get back to the spot where he was a starting quarterback and, you know, gets taken away from you. Now he's got a team again. He's playing well. This offense with Pat Shurmur, he understands it. He was with him in Minnesota. It's a good fit. And he's executed it really well.
Yeah, what do you see in this offense when you just kind of look at it on tape that needs to be better? Like for this team to get to that consistently, you know, scoring 28, scoring 30 points, what is it about this offense that you see? You say, this is the one thing they need to do better to really get to be kind of almost upper echelon type offense.
Well, you watch it too. I'd love to hear your perspective, but I think red zone, they have to be better in the red zone when you get in there. The way that they're going to move this ball down the field and taking shots to Courtland Sutton was big in the last game, and they finally hit one in the second half. The ability to have big plays, but they hadn't had a lot of big plays. You know, they had been slowly kind of methodically driving down the field. And if you do that, it's great because you eat up a lot of clock. Right now, I think they have a 14-minute time of possession advantage, which is huge. That keeps your defense fresh. You know, but you have to be able to finish in the red zone when you do that because you are eating up that clock. You know, and that's an area where they haven't been good in the past, the last couple of years, and they struggled a bit this year as well.
Jay, man, totally. I really appreciate you popping on, man. Thank you so much. I know you're in Arizona for getting up early for us. I truly appreciate that.
I just like the fact that you had to have a kicker on to come on and talk ball. That just makes me happy. Yeah. I know there's a part of you that just really hurts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mark, why don't you tell Jay what yes. you've told me about kickers?
Well, kickers are to be seen and not heard, but you have educated yourself. And, you know, and listen, Jay is one of the few players that for me, there's a lot of kickers that are this way that really understand. They understand the game and they appreciate the game. And so, hey, I have no, you know, I
thought you
Jay.
Said they aren't football players.
Well, no, they're kickers. but you, like none of the coaches, hey, listen.
You know what? You know what I did? I would go around because, you know, I mean, Stink's right. Like you kick for 30 minutes and then you're done. And that's a two and a half hour practice and you don't have anything to do for the next 2 hours. And so I literally would walk around. I'd go watch Alex Gibbs coach the offensive line, you know, when I was in Atlanta. And I remember Alex Gibbs yelling and screaming at me in one practice because he was just pissed off that I was just over there standing watching him.
So Jay has educated himself, and that's what I appreciate more than anything about Jay. And he was a phenomenal kicker over the course of his career. And I like listening to him. He's got good stuff. Makes me think. Jay, man, you're the best. Appreciate you. And by the way, how's your son playing golf, by the way? Jay is a great golfer. I know your son just hits bombs. How's he doing?
Just bombs. He likes playing, you know, he's on football right now. They're in the middle of the season at ASU with Herm. But yeah, he hits it legit 350. Like, I mean, he hits it 60 yards past me. It's ridiculous. But he can't beat me, Stink. You know,
I know that's right.
You got to make him earn it. He still hasn't beaten me yet.
All right. Well, good. Hey, man, have a great call this weekend. Really appreciate you jumping on.
You too, bud. Take care, guys.
All right. There he is. Jay Feely joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Again, he'll be calling Broncos and Jets. We got four down territory coming up next, and very curious to hear how Mark responds to Vic Fangio's characterization of how the Bradley Chubb surgery went. That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3, The Fan.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arm.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, Brad. First down.
Yeah, his procedure today was a roaring success in that the best scenario that they all could hope for was what they found. He'll be back at some point.
Did they give you a time frame?
You know, I think it's in the 6-week range would be the earliest, you know, the 6 to 8.
I was chuckling when I heard Vic Fangio say that because I know how much that grates on your nerves when somebody else, other than the guy getting the surgery, refers to it as a successful surgery, a roaring success.
Right. Yeah.
Did you have 29 roaring successes in your playing career?
Apparently, I'm hurt because it's my fault. You know, I'm not good because it's my fault. You know, the crazy thing, like the craziest one for me is I'm in the training room of the Broncos. I'm on the stationary bike. I don't know, maybe 2 weeks out of back surgery, right? I don't have a shirt on, which I don't know what I'm doing without a shirt on. Like, why would I not have a shirt on? That's just gross belly hanging over my legs as I'm pedaling on this bicycle, right? And, you know, my back is exposed, and some doctors walk in, a couple of doctors with, like, the interns or whatever, like, people, like, they're on fellowship, right? And one of the doctors they look at my back while I'm still pedaling around. They're looking at the scar and said to me, well, boy, it's a really good looking scar. That's what he said. And I looked at him and go, yeah, as long as it's on my back. On your back, this scar sucks. Trust me. You know, it's one of those things where I think you guys don't understand what we put ourselves through. And, you know, you're admiring your handiwork.
Next is four down territory.
Second down.
Mattress fan. Official sponsor. You're a Denver Bronco. No, Drew and I, we talked about it the other day. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, hopefully we can get some free beds or something like that.
Man, Teddy is doing it all. You know, he's
right.
Providing outstanding leadership. He's completing 77% of his passes. And he's advancing the company line with their new practice sponsor.
Yeah, I mean,
the guy's doing it all.
Right.
Sign him to a long-term deal.
Exactly. Why not? Why wouldn't you sign him to a long-term deal? I mean, get him going, right? Put him up there. I love it. Hey, listen, man, you know, you're getting no argument from me when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater and what Teddy Bridgewater provides for this football team. He's
actually, I like him a lot.
But are we making too much out of his leadership skills? I fully agree. They are tremendous. But are we making too much of a big deal about what he brings from a leadership standpoint? When you think about what goes into being your quarterback of the future, your long-term answer at quarterback, yeah, it matters, but does it matter this much?
Well, here's what I'll tell you. It matters because one of the things, what have I told you for years now? They think they're working hard. They think their preparation's on point. They think that, you know, on and on and on it goes. But when you see somebody that actually models it, when you see somebody that does that, like, he's not doing it for show. He's doing it because that's who he is, and that's what he does. And when you see that level of professionalism, I've told you, man, I studied, I prepared, I worked my butt off with Washington. It's a Super Bowl, won a, you know, was a Pro Bowl player in Washington. I came to Denver, and I had to pick my game up because of the way that Gary Zimmerman practiced. And that's something that Gary never said anything to me. Gary didn't say, hey, you got a practice order. Gary didn't say, hey, man, you got to pick up the pace. Gary just practiced it at a little bit faster level than I practiced at. And I was like, oh, shoot, I got to pick it up. And that's one of those things that you provide that for young players. You provide that for guys. And I was a 7-year vet going, all right, this guy, I mean, now one, he was a freak show athlete, right? So, I mean, I was never going to keep up with him from that standpoint. But it was a different way, a different preparation level in my mind that he had. And I need to pick up mine.
Next in 4-down territory.
Third down. You know, I actually watch tons of film. You know, an overload of film. I would probably blame Nelson over there. He asked me 8 times to go on the show. I told him it's not a good idea to put me on the show with the Paytons, with the Mannings. You know, they always get me joking around. You know, they always get me in that type of silly atmosphere, and that's what happened. You know, Coach threatened me now that I don't get my vet day anymore because I don't watch film. So, trust me, I watch so much film that, you know, my girlfriend gets mad at me. She freaking throws shit at me sometimes because I'm watching so much film.
That's what happens when you hang out with the Paytons.
Yeah.
So Rob Gronkowski went on Monday night, the broadcast with Peyton and Eli Manning. Right. Joke that he doesn't watch any film, that he doesn't practice on Fridays because it's red zone day, and he doesn't need to because he's red zone Robbie G already.
Uh-huh.
So he said, no, I do watch lots of film. It's those Paytons. They just kind of got me to say things that aren't true. Blame the Paytons.
Let me tell you.
Does Rob Gronkowski actually take football seriously?
Let me tell you. Let me give you a little insight into Rob Gronkowski. That guy is dumb like a fox. Like he plays the role perfectly.
The meathead role?
The meathead role perfectly. And he's a goofball. And there's a certain meathead aspect to Rob Gronkowski, to be sure. But let me tell you, when it comes to professional football and professionalism in general, Rob Gronkowski has very few peers. He does the work. He practices his butt off. He studies the game. He understands the game. That dude plays a role. He plays it well, and he gets, like, he never has to, the guy hasn't touched any of the money he's made. He lives off of all endorsement money. Everything else goes, I mean, he's dumb like a fox. The guy when it comes to football stuff and just how he operates his life, he's playing a game. And he's winning.
That'll do it for 4-down territory. 3rd and long, we got a punt.
The king is here.
Thank you, Marquette. 4-down territory, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, turns out Stink and reigning NBA MVP Nikola Jokic have quite a bit in common. We'll tell you what it is next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I would rather nobody knows me than everybody knows me. So it's much better to nobody knows me.
There it is. The essence of Nikola Jokic. I've never been around a more unassuming superstar than Nikola Jokic, who was on full display yesterday as he talked to the media on the eve of the Nuggets starting up their training camp. And he shared such gems as, first of all, congratulations, he and his wife are expecting a baby soon. Congratulations there. Says they're having arguments about what to name said child.
Oh, that's, yeah.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not all of us.
Well,
but,
no.
But a lot of us listening have been there. Benny's never been there.
No. Did you actually argue or did you, like...
Not argue.
Did you have a say?
Yeah.
You did?
Suggestions. But never like, you know.
Never like you put your foot down.
Exactly, right? That's just not a fight worth taking on. It's just not.
Right. Yeah. Right? There's some
out there. Are we in agreement? That's stop short of that one.
Right. That's one that, you know, you just acquiesce.
Acquiesce. Great word there.
Yeah.
Just like voluminous. Acquiesce.
Just like, babe, listen, you're doing most of the work. You get 80% of the naming rights. Right?
You do 100% of the work, 80% of the naming rights. He also said that the Nuggets like to work out at Red Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Run the stairs. Much like me. We have that in common.
Right. Yes. Yes. When I think of you, I think of, I wonder what Mike's doing. Probably running Red Rocks again. Yes.
He says, there's a complicated relationship with me and Red Rocks.
Right.
I like that. That's good.
He's fat.
He also said, when asked about how he'll follow up on his MVP season, he said, we'll see what happens. Maybe I will have the worst season of my life. Again, very self-deprecating, unassuming. Right. But here's what I found very interesting. Apparently, he really loves horses. And we've seen pictures of him when he's back in his native land, Serbia. He has horses. We've seen him riding around in little like little chariots type thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So here's what he had to say about his love of horses.
I like the smell of them. I like the, especially the best feeling ever is when you see them and that sound of how they're eating in the stable is probably the best sound you can ever hear. So it's just something that I think the horseman can just feel it.
Turns out you're a horseman.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You wanna share your horseman background?
Well, we grew up with horses. We had horses all my growing up years. And
funny, I don't think of horses in Alaska. You know, maybe that's wrong of me, but I guess I just think of bears and, you know, things. I don't think of horses in Alaska.
We have bears and moose and beavers, eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And horses.
And horses.
And you guys had horses?
Yeah, all growing up, we had two horses. Victor and Hornet. And I didn't name either of those horses. You know, we purchased them with the names. But Victor was a character. Just a character. I mean, he had a personality. But I can relate to what Nicole is saying about the chewing and the eating, because they kinda grind their food in a side to side. They don't chomp up and down. They side to side grind it up in their mouth.
Hmm.
And so their jaw kind of goes, when they're eating, kind of, I mean, it goes up and down, obviously, but it goes kind of side to side and they just kind of grind it all up. And it is a distinctive sound. You know, there's certain senses that you have, Mike, that like you pick up from childhood and you don't really think about those things until all of a sudden you're put back in that environment. You're like, oh my gosh, that brings back memories. Like I went back, when Dennis Erickson went back to coach at the University of Idaho, I went out for a weekend and was inducted in the Hall of Fame or whatever. And, you know, we had some ceremonies and stuff and hung out with the football team. It was really cool. It was a cool experience. But they had pregame meal and they had it served down in the cafeteria. So we went down there together to the cafeteria because the whole team ate together. And I walked into the University of Idaho cafeteria. And it was overwhelming. And they always say the sense of smell is one of your greatest senses. It was overwhelming. That unique smell of that cafeteria brought me back to being there in 1984, 85, whatever. And it was like I could relive all those memories from just that sense of smell. And, you know, one of the crazy things is just, you know, what I do for a living now, not only on the radio, but on television. When people recognize me, if I get recognized 10 times, 8 of them are from my voice. They turn and go, oh my gosh, I heard that voice. It's not sight. Sight doesn't trigger it. It's voice that triggers it.
Knowing how proud you are of your looks, that probably bothers you.
No. I didn't do anything for these incredibly chiseled features. This was just hand of God stuff.
Not the buttons.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
I don't take pride. I mean, this is, you know, I'm the spawn of poolside.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Sure.
Right.
So Victor, huh? Turns out you shared this earlier. I wanted you to share it again. Victor was a very smart horse.
Very smart, very smart. So Victor, like you would tell people about, like, the idiosyncrasies of your horse, and they'd be like, yeah, right. So Victor would always trot in, and like the summertime, he'd trot into his stall, and he would, like, literally swing the door shut with his nose, his horse nose. Snout.
Snout, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a horse nose, but
it's a horse nose. And then he'd just stand in there, and like he would sleep. He'd shut his door. He was like a petulant child. You know, I'm going to go in my room and slam the door shut. and they're like, well, why do you lock that one horse in? The other horse is wide open, you know? And you're like, I don't. He shuts himself in. He does not shut him. Yes, he does every night. And so on more than one occasion to prove it, I'd run inside, get an apple, you know, kind of, Victor, and I get the clicky thing. I don't know why horses, maybe it's just us humans that think horses respond to that sound.
You do that very well.
Yeah, well, because I had horses.
Right.
And I don't know who came up with the clicky sound as a horse, like a horse calling sound. But anyhow, you'd get his attention, and then I'd throw the apple out into the yard, and he would literally swing the door open with his horse nose. He'd go, he'd eat the apple, and he'd go back in and shut the door again. And it's like the damnedest thing you've ever seen. And there was this one time that Victor kept getting out, and we couldn't figure out how he was getting out of his pen. You know, and I was the guy that helped build I built the stall, the barn with my father, all the fence, you know, dug the post holes. And it was the crazy, couldn't figure out. He's kept getting out. And, you know, you come home and he'd be in the backyard eating grass, or he'd be wherever, you know, he's just kind of hanging out eating grass. And then you had to try to catch him, you know, he'd run around and try to avoid you, you know. And anyhow.
Silly Victor.
Right. But he would never do it while you were home. He'd never try to escape while you were home. He'd wait till people left and nobody could see him. And then he would escape.
Playing silly games.
Right. And so, so one day I staked out Victor. So I'm literally, I go like I'm leaving, and I leave, and I sneak back, and I get in our horse trailer. And I must have sat there, Mike. Like, literally, it was like I was on a stakeout. I must have sat there for an hour. Yes, staking out Victor.
Staking out Victor.
And he's just kind of wandering around the yard, like eyeballing the house, eyeballing, is there any activity, what's going on? And he just kind of meanders around, and all of a sudden, he walks over to a section of the fence, and he literally lays down on his side and sticks his nose, and the fence was, it was chain link, right? But there was a broken piece. He literally laid on his side and squeezed his nose under it, and then with his little horse feet, he scooted himself so it was scraping across his belly. I mean, it was just like the tightest fit you have ever seen. It was like one of those military kind of movies, you know, where you're sliding under barbed wire, you know? And he's just sliding on his side, and it's just scraping across his stomach. And he finally gets himself escaped, and he pops up, like, so proud, and he trots into the backyard to eat grass. And I literally witnessed it. I was on a horse stakeout. I might be the only person in history to horse stakeout.
Did you jump out of the horse trailer and go, aha?
Yes,
I nailed you, Victor.
Yeah, and then I ended up, catching him as he avoided me for a while, you know, until he got tired of running around. And then I put him back in the pen, and then I fixed the fence. And I broke the caper. It was very Hardy Boy of me at the time.
It was.
Extremely Hardy Boy.
Right. The case of the escaping horse, Victor.
Right. Yeah. And that's 100% a true story.
That's funny. That's funny.
I mean, and if you would see, like, he got through this space that there's no way, I was going to say humanly way. There's no humanly possible way you could do it. There's no horsely way you could do that.
Right.
Right. Right. And he's like his little horse feet because he's on his side. So he's just like with his little horse feet.
You mean hooves?
Yeah, the horse feet, the hooves, the hooves.
Hooves.
Yes. Hoofing it all the way, Mike. So, yeah, I mean, it was incredible.
Oh, must have been so hard when you had to dig the hole, huh?
I mean, I was already, you know,
you had already left?
Oh, yeah.
What happened
Victor
when you
Victor probably lived into his 20s, 22 or so.
Is that a tough phone call to get that?
Yeah, no, you're sad, but you know, he was really my sister's horse. My sister did all the stuff that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
you just busted him.
Right. Riding the horse and grooming the horse and look, I'm a horse show. You know, she's got way more accolades than I do from a sporting because she won 100 state championships. I mean, Victor was the leading trail, call it trail horse. He was the top trail horse in the state of Alaska. And she was the one that won all the state championships. So she won a ton of state championships in that. And I was the one that did most of the shoveling of poo. that was my skill set. this is the difference. The great differentiator, if you will. She did all the stuff that required like brain power and training and, you know, educating and all that. And I shoveled poo. So I was the poo shoveler.
Matt.
Good for you, bud.
Matt, texts in and says, wow, sounds like Victor was smarter than Paxton Lynch.
I have completely forgotten about that.
Yes, we were up against the deadline there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
Oh, man. 22.99.
Nestled right tomorrow, 3,000.
Yep. Yep. Tomorrow's a big day.
Yeah. Huge day.
Huge day. Huge, huge day. All right. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.